coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
I appreciate this movie for at least acknowledging that when you're in your car and you're listening to something or you're talking on your speakerphone, people can hear everything that's going on. Your car is not insulated.
Welcome back to The Break Room. It's Ryan Gosling's world and we're all living in it.
Oh, I love it.
It's The Break Room movie review. Hit the graphic. If the graphic is ready.
One man.
This is what happens when you say you're the only guy.
I know. I brought it on myself.
I never doubted it for a second.
I'm Evan, the producer of The Break Room, and joining me today are Brandon Barrick.
Hello.
And Koi Jandro.
Excited to be here. Love this movie. Excited to break it down.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I'm excited to talk about this. We're down one person. We normally have four people for the movie reviews informal. But we have our live Twitch chat watching along. Some people in the chat have seen it. We're going to go to them. Kind of average out the scores and put it to a poll. Maybe ask one person in particular who's to say. And they'll kind of be the fourth vote here.
Okay.
And also, before we start, I want to shout out two people that worked on The Fall Guy that I've worked with in the past. It's so fun when you work kind of like in the industry or industry adjacent to like see people that you come up with and work on big things. So, hey, Annie Lauper, Kaiser Tinyu. Great stuff, guys. Great stuff. Hope to see you all soon.
I also want to give some love to the 87 North team. Everyone at 87 North, like, it is long overdue. The Oscar goes to stunt people and everything you've done for stunt people to raise awareness for all that goodness. And they actually, I got this cool shirt from them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Check out, like, the stunty shirt. So I just want to give some love to those guys. I've done stunts with some of the team in the past, and I've gone to their facility in LA, and they're some of the best in the biz. So much love to 87 North.
Best in the biz. You deserve this. Ooh. We should also shout out, this was a big project for a relatively new actor, Emily Blunt. I don't know if you've...
Unknown to this
Congratulations, project. Great job in the movie.
Like, came out of nowhere. Big role. Really just like, what a debut.
Big role.
I think she's gonna
what she reminds me of? That lady in Edge of Tomorrow, Lived I Repeat.
Yeah, she had that vibe for
very
sure.
Similar.
Yeah, what happened to her?
I don't know.
I think she did Jungle Cruise and got out of town. She was like, that's enough. That's enough for me.
Can we actually pivot this to a Jungle Cruise discussion?
Let's
review Jungle
Cruise.
I have so many things to say about that movie.
Her sister was in Oppenheimer and did great. Gemily Blunt.
Yeah. All right. So, in case you haven't heard of The Fall Guy, which is would be very interesting, actually. There's a lot.
Saying the marketing has been aggressive?
Yeah.
I think they've done some very clever marketing for this movie. I think it would be interesting if you had not heard of this movie.
I would like to say there isn't a stunt or category for marketing in this, but this film should have that. If it was if we made individualized ratings, this film would have both of those, I think, because the marketing doesn't reveal too much, but it shows the tone, but it doesn't give too much of the third act away, while also being very, like, they've leveraged the film in a way that the stunt work they've done all around town and in promotions doesn't give away any of the stunts in the film, and it shows the power of the team. Mm-hmm. So marketing-wise, I think this is like up there for the last 10 years of like one of the, like this and Deadpool are really great campaigns.
Everyone's trying to, this is, I think these next few years will be interesting in a post-Barbenheimer world. Mm-hmm. Two movies who are doing their own marketing, and Barbie did incredible marketing, don't get me wrong, Oppenheimer did pretty good marketing. But like society kind of marketed those movies in a fun way, and they rode that wave very smartly. I think these next few years, we're gonna see all types of weird, full-on marketing blitzes, half-ass marketing blitzes.
Trying to tie movies into movies like Oppenheimer. It's funny when they keep trying to mix names, and you're like, no, that's not. Just because they released the same day doesn't mean they're Barbenheimer. But I think we're living in a different world. Like, post-pandemic, the movie industry is very different. The TV industry is very different. Mm-hmm. If you look at May is, I think, more stacked than June, or like July is three giant movies, but May is like five big movies.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to see like how the summer is shaping, what the studios are doing, when they're doing press. I know like Furiosa is coming out and they did a lot of press like a while ago and now they're doing another surge. Yeah. It's just like we're gonna see, I think you're right, the next few years, what the internet does as part of the commentary. Like a lot of journalists aren't working as much as TikTokers are working, and that's another conversation. But it's a really interesting time in movies.
Yeah, I think, you think we'll see more trailers set to reimagined versions, dramatic versions of songs?
Ugh, that's been going on forever.
I think the Max Payne? I think the Max Payne era is ending.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Fincher was like a big proponent of that, right?
But he's a music video director, so yeah, I feel like he knew how to do it.
But he's always been good. His movies usually have like a cover of a song.
Yes.
That was,
I think,
like
James
a big...
Gunn's Needle Drop helped usher in like that ending. Right. So it was like, there's so much of it in movie, we shouldn't use it for trailer.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah.
Because it does get a little old.
Yeah, what was the one that was the Beatles? Slowed Down Beatles. Was it Suicide Squad? The first Suicide Squad?
I think so.
There's a Queen song, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What is time?
This is good
what
content.
Is time? Hey,
this is good content.
This is great.
Yeah,
great
we're here for this.
Great Fall Guy breakdown content.
Yeah, we're in Fall Guy.
Okay. If you haven't heard of the Fall Guy, it's about a stuntman played by Ryan Gosling deciding to give stunts another try after a mishap. And he is doing this for the possibly the love of his life, played by Emily Blunt. And some chaos ensues as they go onto this movie set. He reteams with his normal actor pairing, who's played by Aaron Taylor Johnson. And yeah, there's some shenanigans. I'm like, listen.
I like the marketing. You're keeping it. You're keeping
it
vague. Giving some details.
Keeping it vague. All right, so what? Before we get into spoilers and the normal kind of like rating, what was everyone's like kind of non-spoiler thoughts, reactions?
I had a fun time. Really enjoyed the stunts in the movie. I think it's a great rom-com, action-y rom-com, which we haven't had in a little bit. Everyone was very charming in the film and all their roles. No complaints. Had a great time. Well, I got nitpicks, but you know, I think overall it was a good time at the theaters. Very loud in the Dolby, which I always appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, it was what I love about summer film. I think there's different genres of movie, and there should be. I think that when you look at movie making, we should appeal to different demos at all times. I think that four quadrant concept is fading a little bit, where it's like, it's for everyone. But this is a very crowd-pleasing film, and I really love that it's as much a romance movie, as you mentioned, as it is an action comedy. You don't see a lot of action rom-coms, and I like that it's all three in equal measure, and the action comedy doesn't sacrifice the romance. And it feels like, to be honest, like to use the Gosling of it all, it feels like The Nice Guys meets The Notebook. And I really like when you can put those two things together with an actor that is one of our last movie stars, that is as charming as he is good at being, you know, the physical comedy and the stunt work and all those things. And I think we live in a very meta age, and I think this metamodernism we're going through has its flaws, but I also think that when it hits its strengths and you use a story about stuntmen and a movie set, and that allows you to have stunts in the film that get progressively more insane, but it narratively serves the film, that allows us as an audience to get stunts that wouldn't narratively work in a film without being like, that's absurd. So I think using the meta narrative in this way serves filmmaking more than always doing something that's cheeky, fourth wall breaking. It's another way to have a meta narrative. And I really love that it is a love letter to all filmmaking, not just the stunt people. It's trying to get the awareness for the stunt Oscar very clearly, but everyone on set gets their due. Assistant directors, best boys, gaffers, grips. If you've worked on a set, there's some love for you in this film. And usually you see films that are love letters to filmmaking in the Oscar category, and it feels like, we love what we do, and we're a little, like, you know, masturbatory. This isn't masturbatory, it's celebratory, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I had a really good time watching it. I do think, like you said, there's been like a little bit of a gap in like these action comedy romance, like movies really succeeding. And I think that I really hope this one succeeds. It seems like it's being well received by critics.
Yeah.
I think audiences will like it if they go out and see it. I don't think like any of the movie meta narrative and stuff is even like too insular for like the general public, because obviously, you know, we have feelings about that.
I immediately was comparing it to the most recent one I had seen that kind of fit that was The Lost City. Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. Which, I mean, I love Daniel Radcliffe in that movie is incredible. And the whole movie is worth it just for what Daniel Radcliffe does. But I definitely like this more than I liked like The Lost City. I didn't see that Chris Evans, Ana de Armas one. Blind Date? Was that what that
Ghosted.
One was? Ghosted?
The one that looked like a fake movie?
Yes.
Yeah, the Apple film.
That looked like that could have been the movie inside this movie.
Yeah,
right?
That could be the one that
they were
making.
So yeah, I didn't see that one, and I didn't hear any great things about that one. But this seems like I think it could do well.
The only things I've read that people didn't like are they're just don't like it. Like, it's been like, I thought it was boring. I thought the jokes weren't funny. Sure. It was really interesting that I haven't heard anyone, like, be casual about it. Like, I've heard people that are like, it was very much my jam. Mm. Or, like, nah. Yeah. So I'm curious how it lands overall. Because usually films have a little bit more shades of gray.
Yeah.
But then again, Twitter's getting more and more polarizing. So maybe it's just the medium. tweet is getting
Are you
what?
Saying X is violent?
Polarizing. My Twitter.
Yours.
My safe space. Polarizing.
Where I log in to have a good time.
Yeah. I've never seen a bad word on there.
Every scroll you just see, you're filled with joy, so much joy.
Joy. Puppets.
Just
rainbows.
Yeah, I feel like I'm actually a little bit more in that kind of like gray area, but we'll get into it. So we're about to get into our review section. So this is officially your spoiler warning. We're going to rate the movie 1 through 5 in different parts. Half points are okay. And the off-screen team will be doing the math to get a sum at the end. We'll be grading the script, story and writing, the acting, the directing, the visuals, and of course, the most important category to round everything out, the sound and score.
the order's changed.
The order has changed.
The order has changed.
Sometimes we spend a little too much time up top.
Yep.
Okay, so let's start with a script written by Drew Pearce and also based off a show from the 80s, I believe, by Glenn A. Larson. Drew Pearce has written a bunch of kind of like big blockbusters you've seen in the past, like Mission Impossible. What'd you guys think of the script and the story in general?
Here's what I'll say about this. You know, I thought it was, you know, they were trying to be clever, breaking the fourth wall in a way, being meta maybe, you know, discussing the characters in the fake movie as an allegory for them, like all that kind of stuff, very cheeky. As no point, I was constantly waiting to be subverted a little bit, and like, they don't do that. They're like, these are the bad guys, this is the entire, like, there's no like surprise. Like, there's some things, obviously, like, there's a lot of, like, love for, like, making movies and stuff. Yeah. But there is that, like, this is not really how movies are made-ness of it. And it's, like, if you're going to play the trope of, like, the actor who's an asshole, who doesn't do his parts or whatever, he's basically being a Johnny Depp in this movie. Like, that would have been fun if he wasn't the villain, right? If it had all just been the producer or something like that.
Oh,
the
true,
fact
yeah.
that it's, like... Everyone is playing these. I wanted to be so surprised, and it felt like a movie that was trying to be like a very clever kind of like Shane Black. I kept thinking of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Sure.
We're like, oh, we're gonna get subverted at some point in this movie, and we didn't, which is fine. But like, it did that. The movie's already over 2 hours, and I think that doesn't help if you're not like kind of surprising me a little bit.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the movie length too, and I do feel like part of that comes from like. The love that they're putting into these big set pieces, right?
Yeah.
Like the time not spent on like the characters is just because you want to see these big set pieces play out, how they set it up and stuff like that. That being said, I also agree it could be a little bit shorter as well.
But I love the balls to really go hard on Dune, which was very fun.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, yeah,
for a movie,
yeah.
It's made by Universal and they reference Universal a lot and like, you know, make fun of Universal in their own way. But going after Dune was like very interesting and like very on the nose. I was like, oh, they're trying to start a little beef? A little beef with Warner Brothers, maybe?
Yeah. Like, do you think that, I mean, obviously this movie must have been made like while Dune was filmed, right? Like after Dune 1.
I mean, post Dune 1, yes.
Yeah, between Dune 1 and 2.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a specific part when you see more of the movie that they're making where they actually play like a
They do
like
that they do the
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the song.
Yeah, I'm like, did you get the rights?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think they
it
added that?
It sounded just like it, right?
Do you think they added that, like, in the sense of, like, once they saw it was going to take off, they're like, let's lean into it?
Yeah, I mean, they're making, to be fair,
it's
the
like
movie
Guardians
they're making is more of a Zack Snyder movie than that.
Yeah, it's like if Zack Snyder directed Guardians of the Galaxy and had watched Dune the night before.
Yes. That's totally it. Yeah, I think you're right, Evan. It might have just been like a fun thing they didn't post, like generic sci-fi. And it's like, well, Dune's very popular right now. We'll throw in the Dune. I don't know if the script said, you hear Dune-esque.
To his credit, Leach said that it wasn't originally or intentionally as Dune.
Oh, okay.
So I
just
think,
generic sci-fi.
Yeah, I think they're making sci-fi, but now to us, sci-fi is Dune.
Yeah.
So it might also be like, oh, that means, and then they just play that level a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I felt.
Writing-wise, for me, it was cheeky enough and romantic enough that I forgave some of that. Like, it definitely did feel Shane Black-esque, and I think Drew Pearce and Shane Black worked together, and you could feel that.
Sure.
Like, the writer, and like, when you work as someone's, like, you know, number two, you kind of get their vibe.
Yeah.
And it is tough to achieve Shane Black. Everyone's tried to do it.
Yeah. And few have succeeded even close.
It's tough.
I'm a huge fan of Shane Black. I think he's one of the best writers working, and I think that Shane Black is a style of writing that many emulate, but rarely do you feel that same punch. And this got very close.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it a lot of credit for being, you know, right there on that line. And I also think that the romance was a little stronger than I expected. Like, I really like the
chemistry. I'm glad it was settled at the top.
Yeah, I like that they front-loaded
it. Yeah.
And they also made the romance like more like a rom-com in its format, that there was the two romantic leads, but then you've got the gaggle of friends. And in this case, the gaggle of friends was the crew. And, yeah. I've never seen that, where it's like you're doing a meta-narrative, but you're doing the rom-com tropes, but it doesn't stay in that lane. So yeah. I really liked the writing being like, we're going to do this thing, but it's also going to surprise you here and here. And the lines worked because of the casting.
Yeah.
But this has been in development since 2010. It had Cruise attached, it had Jason Statham attached, had The Rock attached. If any of them had been in this movie, it would be awful. Like, I love all those actors,
Gosling
is the guy for this. So I think the script is largely carried by the casting, and it's hard to judge without the knowledge that it's Gosling as this charming guy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine The Rock in this movie?
No.
First of all, no. But second, like, who would he be the stunt double for?
Right, like, who's as big as The Rock?
He looks at Luke.
That's
like,
so funny.
Like those wild stories of, like, Alan.
They cast Roman Reigns as the actor.
That... Alan Richin.
Yeah.
They, like, campaign for him to be Batman. And it's like, he cannot be Batman.
Yeah, because you'd look at him like, I wonder if Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne. Have you seen Bruce Wayne? Bruce Wayne, 6'5", and
Bruce Wayne in a tux, just walking around like, hey.
It's like, hey, we gotta figure out who this Batman is.
It barely works in the comics fucking when you see a giant drawn Bruce Wayne. Yeah.
Anyway.
But the writing, I thought, was really good for the format and for the genre and for what the story told. I enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
They are, the chemistry, well, we're not there yet. I'll save chemistry talk for later.
I think I'm a little harsher on it in general. I mean, I do agree with, like, the general rom-com stuff and, like, front-loading it, and I think just some of the pacing and it was a little odd in the sense that, like, you know, when it becomes revealed that the producer is kind of like pulling the strings and Aaron Taylor Johnson
spoilers.
Is like, yes,
we should say it. That part. I was worried. I didn't know if we said it. Okay. So sorry.
You know the producer's evil the moment you meet them.
That's true.
There's nothing.
Which is so delightful with the scene shooting.
Sure, sure. I mean, Hannah Waddingham does a great job in this movie.
Yeah, she's definitely having fun. Yeah, for sure. I think that I wanted to see a little bit of more of why Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, like, were together. Like, wanted to see a little bit more of, like, how they fell for each other instead of just, like, this kind of acceptance. Because I think then the kind of... what's the word for it? That kind of retribution doesn't really quite work for me. Like, I think after she's like, okay, yeah, we're fine after I, like, lit you on fire 5 times. And I'm like, maybe. So, but otherwise, I generally enjoyed it. I do think a lot of this is gonna come up later in, like, the other categories. But to your point, yeah, I think it's kind of like a great cast for this whole thing. And it makes a lot of these lines and scenes work and fly pretty effortlessly. I do think some of the movie, I was talking to you about this yesterday, I do think some of the movie felt rewritten in post, especially for Emily Blunt's character. A lot of the times you see her in the beginning, it's never on her face when she's talking. Mm. And I was like noticing some of the like kind of Madame Web ADR mismatches. And I'm just like, maybe my mind's not fully here right now, or like maybe I'm like overthinking it, but I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But also, they probably didn't have the All Too Well needle drop when they made the movie, right?
Or there's also the possibility that scheduling conflicts with how much Emily Blunt works, maybe they were filming Oppenheimer. Like, there's literally a chance that was not her for every day and they had to do it.
Yeah, it did feel like, whether it was her choice, I felt like there was a reason she's not in more of the movie.
Right.
And it probably was either like, I don't want to do all this action stuff, or because she has some good action sequences in the third act. But like, yeah, it did feel like we are missing some of her narrative. And there probably was more early on pre-accident. And they just cut that because the movie's already like 2 hours. And they're probably like, we got to get to.
And they do front load it so much. I felt the connection. So maybe they felt the same. They were like, we don't need to.
Because I got the feeling there was definitely a scene shot around the Miami Vice stunt show, and completely
just
cut it out.
I
wanted to see that.
Yeah,
that's part of it. I'm sure it was like a callback to the end when you see him do like a very stunt show jump, and you're like, we've all seen that in a stunt
it's
show.
It's so good.
So I think for me, the final number would be like a 3.5. I think perfectly middle of the road that I think is enhanced by other aspects of it. But that's where I'm at.
I'm gonna go 4. I think it's, you know, a little higher, but it's not like a 5 for writing. Yeah. I do think that the acting elevates it. I wouldn't quite, like, for me, like a 4.5 is like a solid A. A 4 is like a B+, A-. Mm-hmm. And it lands there for me where it feels like it's better than average, but it's not like what I think of with the film. I think of the delivery of some of the writing, and I think of the overall vibe. So it's like a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give it like a 3. I don't know. I wanted to be a little more surprised. Mm, okay. Some of the jokes didn't always hit for me. I don't know.
Great. And the folks in the chat who have seen it, they're giving it a 4.
Oh! So friendly chat. Friendly chat.
Chat's
on my side. Gosling in the chat.
The chat got a little distracted because someone wrote, someone's autocorrect corrected Gosling to Guzzling, and now that's the whole thing.
Get your mind out of the gutter, you filthy.
Getting gooed with Ryan Gosling.
Filthy. Yeah. I mean, his body, come on.
My God, preposterous. Yeah. When he was injured, and I was like, that's what an injured Gosling looks like.
And then, like, Aaron Taylor Johnson was probably like, well, I gotta get in shape too for this.
Oh, dude, that dude stays shredded. It's crazy. I think it might have been like Ryan Gosling was like, oh, wait, I'm his
friend. I have to be his.
I have to look like 8-Pack McGee.
In an open robe.
James Bond over here is gonna be walking around. I'm a stunt double. Dude's abs had abs.
Well, speaking of Ryan Gosling. The acting, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Hannah Waddington, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Winston Duke, a little bit of Stephanie Hsu in there. Yeah. Academy Award winning Stephanie Hsu.
Splash of Hsu.
Get to do some action sequences.
As we've said, this is a great cast. I really think Gosling and Emily Blunt have such great chemistry. Wanted to see more of them. I think we were talking yesterday, just see more of like the rom part of this like, rom-com.
Give me the rom.
The rom.
I don't know. How'd you guys feel?
Good cast. Everyone did a good job. I didn't have any complaints with anybody.
Yeah.
It does feel like there's probably more to Winston Duke's character that they cut out.
Yeah.
You know, but everyone else seemed fine. I don't know. No one really stuck out as out of place.
Yeah.
But Aaron Taylor Johnson has like the toughest job, I think, playing the like asshole.
Duplicitous.
Yeah. And he does a really good job with it. You kind of buy it. Mm-hmm. I get it. He really fits into it. God, they look a lot alike, huh?
I didn't realize how
similar they kind of look when they both have like the beard and stuff.
I liked his Zoolander performance at times when he had to be like the moment with the rocks for the campaign of the cologne that was very dried
out. Right.
Those moments are harder than you'd think when also being serious.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and him being an actor on set, like he has to still do that monologue
scene. He has to act like acting
in a way, or you're buying it, right?
Yeah,
I think he does a good job. And like, I mean, even him being kind of vulnerable, where he's like, "Well, I don't want to be in the car." Da, da, da. It's like, okay, I buy this dude.
Yeah,
he's fine. And all the stunt workers who get more prominence, right? I assume most of his security team,
Tons of real stunt dudes.
The guy in the ice bath too, isn't he like a real stunt guy? The guy that they killed or whatever.
Yeah, and he was doing stunts.
I saw him like on the red carpet and stuff for this, and I was like, he's like a big stunt guy.
Yeah, he's one of the 87 North guys.
Okay.
I was like, he's like a face.
Yeah.
In the stunt game.
He's a face. He's not a goon in a mask. He's a face.
And he's an Atomic Blonde, if memory serves.
Oh, okay.
For me, the acting was one of the big highlights of the film, because I think that, like I said in the writing section, a lot of this falls flat. I think Gosling is in this really unique place where he's... I read an article where he was talking about, basically, or it was an interview where he was saying, like, he's really focusing on doing work that isn't a dark place because he wants to do it around his family and he doesn't want to go into that. And I think it's really important that a lot of people, when we look at movies, we go like, well, I want this type of thing from you. And we forget the people that are acting. And you bring that home. Like, if you're Daniel Day-Lewis and you're the extreme, you're definitely bringing it home for years. But even if you're playing, like, a role on CSI and you're playing, like, a murderer, it sucks to kind of go home and be like, ugh, just have that darkness. And I think it's really cool that, like, Gosling is taking these bold swings as seeking levity, like in doing stuff that he wants to share in the fun of, but not doing stuff that's not good. Like, you could easily be like, I'm gonna do only fun roles and then be like a Walmart $5 bin. He's not, but he's choosing roles that he wants to share the joy in. Like, I think that this and Ken and Nice Guys and so many things are incredible, but it's not like he hasn't already done Lars and the Real Girl and Place Beyond the Pines and all those dark roles. Oh. So this is awesome. It'd be so good. But if it was just Gosling, I do think it wouldn't feel good as a rom-com, because you need Emily Blunt to be charm incarnate. You need Winston Duke playing a stunt coordinator, which is so ironic because that's what, you know, David Leitch was before he started directing. So there's a lot of meta-ness in even the making of the film. And then while they made the film, they broke a Guinness World Record for most barrel rolls, causing a stunt to be in the Guinness Records while making a stunt movie. So the meta-narrative of the film... allowed these actors to play at an 11, and I think, like you were saying with Aaron Taylor Johnson, if you play at an 11 wrong, the movie sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so, like, Hannah Waddingham chewing the scenery is awful if not everyone gets the memo. Stephanie Hsu, in her limited performance, like, time on screen wasn't a limited performance in her skill, and I just was really impressed with everyone's ability to know what the movie was and play play the hits.
Should Aaron Taylor Johnson just have been Aaron Taylor Johnson?
I thought it'd be way funnier.
Wouldn't it be way more?
But I'm wondering if there was like a legal issue.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. The idea that he's like, yeah, I killed some.
Like, and he's also like, I'm a dick. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know if he'd want to carry that around.
Like, he's a dude who's like, I don't know anything about the real Aaron Taylor Johnson. You could tell me this, and I'll be like, yeah, he probably killed like that. He probably did kill a guy, based on a true story. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Did you actually, speaking of his character, did you guys like? What do you guys think of the moment where he doesn't shoot Gosling in the helicopter? Where Hannah Watson's like, oh, shoot, oh,
I like this slight sympathy.
And he's like, but I can't, he's the best stunt guy ever, right?
I thought that was such a funny in-universe joke, because finding good stunt people is like, it's like an idea that it's hard to find a good stunt guy.
I mean, it was going to let him get lit on fire.
That's part of the job.
But I guess, like, in that moment, he's like, no, he's actually very good and I need him. I don't know.
I like that his instinct was like, oh, no, I love this guy.
But there, you know... Yeah, Ryan Gosling is really good, and Emily Blunt is really good, and you buy their chemistry in a lot of ways, and, like, I think Gosling plays, like, a lot of vulnerability in an interesting way. Like, he's this beautiful man in great shape, but he's still very vulnerable, and he's like, I don't want to, like, admit my faults. And you buy, like, he can play that kind of softness so well. In a really good way.
Yeah.
And the miming, like, there's so much physicality in his work.
Yeah.
And in the comedy as well as the stunts. And I think the vulnerability plays in his miming. I think the Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds are two of the best physical comedians that are great actors.
Yeah. Because he's still great, like, point, he gets hit and, like, groans. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, like...
Right. He's not immortal.
He's not a Superman in this movie. He's, like, getting beat up a little
bit. And the
bit.
Way he fights is so vulnerable.
Right, right.
Like, if you look at Daredevil, like, the reason the hallway fight works is because you feel Charlie Cox's and his stunt double.
Yeah.
While we're talking stunt doubles, Chris Brewster is stunt double. The way they wear down...
Yeah, they're getting hit.
And
like,
Ryan does that so well.
Yeah. Just that in the Daredevil fight, the way he... I watched it recently, the season one fight, where he, like, spins and just, like, throws his whole back into the thing and is, like, picking himself up is great. Yeah, and that's a great point to, like, in this movie, it does feel that way as well. Like,
and a lot of those are wonders on his face, like, it's him.
Yeah. And when he steals himself, like, for that, for to get hit by the taxi.
Yeah.
And when he's like, all right, here, we puts the mouth guard in. And
And
it's so funny, because it's got to be funny. Because that, if you're not playing it right, if you do that, it's painful to watch instead of funny to watch.
Yeah.
You're watching a guy get hit by a car. Unless you're nailing the tone, why did we just laugh?
Yeah, 100%. All right, final numbers, why? And why?
I'll do 4.5. There's always room for improvement.
You know, it's not seeking Oscars except the stunt Oscar, but I do think it doesn't work without it. I'm going to go 5 on this because
I think
it's a very hard job to land for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am going to also do 4.5. Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't change it. Gentle, so I'm gonna go for
Yeah, I do think that this is a candidate for, or definitely will get nominated for best casting at the Oscars, right? The new Oscar.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Best.
That's gonna be. That'll be a very interesting category to watch.
Yeah.
How it plays out its first year.
It's like
is that like an also rans where like we'll never give the Fall Guy a Best Picture nom or something, but like
we'll give him the.
Yeah, or like you know, is that where they would have loved to stick Barbie, right? You know what I mean, or like.
I hate, like, the internet loves to call me a Marvel shill, but I hate to not give credit to Marvel for not just casting a movie, but casting a universe. And I hope one of these gets the, like, kind of how Leo got the... I like The Revenant, but it's not
sure,
his best role.
Sure, it's not his best role.
So, like, you get should've the Legacy Oscar.
He should have got it for Oscar. The Aviator. He should have got it for The Aviator,
Catch Me If You Can't. Like, there's so many that are better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, like, Marvel... The way they have to cast is, like, the chemistry isn't just in that movie. It's the next movie,
Yeah.
And, like, that's such a force of nature to think ahead. I hope Marvel gets one of them out of reverence for what they built.
Yeah, and it'd be weird if Deadpool and Wolverine got it, too, because that's, like, almost
casting
recognizing.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hey, great job, man.
Not undo, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, exactly, but...
Hmm. I mean, name a movie with two leads that are better cast than Deadpool and Wolverine, though.
Yeah. True. Very, very true. All right, so the chat, I think, reasoned out on a, or leveled out on a 5, so we can put that for them. It's pretty high there.
Still on my side, chat. I see you.
All right, so now in a change of course for the orders, the directing has moved up.
Whoa!
Directed by David Leitch, former Submen turned director. And I guess also while we're here, we can also say Chris O'Hara was the stunt coordinator and second unit director. Because it feels like we, and also formerly the first person to be credited as a stunt designer, which is a change approved by the director and Screen Actors Guilds. Interesting.
Stunt designer.
Yeah. Instead of stunt coordinator?
Design. Oh, the idea that like me as director didn't come up with.
Right.
I said, here's point A, here's point G.
I'm on the day sorting this.
Yeah.
But like a production designer gets credit for being a designer. Sure. I love that this category is
added. I love that. Yeah. Great title.
I mean, I think this movie, I mean, all the set pieces, it's just so great.
It's like crazy to see them film like at the Sydney Opera House. I was like, well, that was nice. Like, not green screens.
Yeah.
Like, big set. You felt like you were there, as opposed to like, this was shot somewhere in Romania for
on the volume.
Whomever. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it felt like a real big set. Like, all the set pieces felt big and real. Which I enjoyed.
Also felt Shane Black in that way.
Yeah.
Like the Lethal Weapon feel.
Yeah. The car chase.
Which is Dick Donner directing.
The stunts were so well shot in this movie, which was like very nice to see. You could kind of appreciate them in a different way. There was some cheekiness. I don't know. When they're having the conversation about split screen and doing a split screen, and they were doing some fun stuff with
Some
matching that was like
fun and
cheeky.
I don't think it was pushed as far as it could have been, right?
No. Yeah. Whereas like something like Barbie did the same thing, but they would have people pass from one to the next.
Mm.
This was like more of a mirroring, and it had cuts in it. So I was like, that's fun, but they're kind of cheating a little bit.
It was cheating.
It's hard to do that. Yeah. I don't know.
There was one moment in that split screen, too, where something in the background, though, like matched it or like was like opposite in a really interesting way. I was like, oh, that's a really cool like production design and cinematography thing working in tandem to be like, okay, let's actually show where they are. And I'm like, or am I overthinking this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think the movie within the movie, this is always the toughest thing to do in a movie, right? Your movie within a movie. How real does it feel? Do you buy it? I like bought it.
Yeah.
And like, I think when they were showing the kind of, this is what the completed film looks like. It's like, okay, I'm buying this. This looks decent enough.
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
It's Comic-Con. It's Hall H.
Yeah.
Dude, the Hall H jokes made me so happy. As a 3-time Hall H host, I was like, you're putting respect on our name. It didn't feel like to me, Big Bang Theory always punched down at nerds and was like, we're better than you.
Whereas Community
always punched with nerds. And this felt like a community type of jab at the industry. It didn't feel like it was making fun of it. It was making fun with.
Because I thought it was going to be the case where Ryan Gosling was like, you've been waiting to, like, Metal Storm, this is the movie you wanted to direct your whole career. And she was going to say something like, no, I didn't want to direct this.
Right.
I wanted to direct this. And she was like, no, you're right. Like, this is what I've been waiting for. I wanted to direct this movie. And I was like, yeah, this is, like, a celebration of, like, there is so much work that has to go into making these, like, big budget, like, you know, sci-fi movie stuff that is, you know, is maybe not, like, the most, isn't always the most, like, cinematically challenging, but it's like it's so much work.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, and I like what you said, like punching with nerds.
I'm very biased. I love Leach as a human and as a director, and I think this is his best work. I think Bullet Train is spectacular. I think Atomic Blonde is fantastic. I love Marvel, and I think Deadpool 2 is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think this is a showcase of not just stunt work, but movie making and acting.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to direct actors in a comedy in general, but if you're directing them in a stunt action comedy, and again, you're building a world, you're building a universe, and you're building a universe inside your universe, so you're directing them differently on set versus on set, and you're doing a lot with like moving parts with that ensemble, and there's just so much that goes into this while being reverent to the stunts and making sure you're capturing them. If you think about like some of the best directors, they still don't always get stunts right.
No,
like if you look at the Bourne movies, I love what they are, but like the Greengrass style versus the Doug Liman style, like it's a stylistic choice, but it's really hard to follow some of the stunts as it progresses. I think it's a testament to his ability to be not just a director, but a former second unit director, stunt coordinator that trusts the second unit director. A lot of, like, I love Michael Bay and Zack Snyder films, but a lot of times I'm like, I would have loved them to be the second unit director on this because their visuals are so good, but not the rest.
Yeah,
I think Leach is one of those rare action directors that's good at first and second unit and hires a really good second unit to support him. So I'm pretty high on this one.
Yeah. I think so. I generally liked a lot of what was going on. I think I'm just blown away by like how they were able to like organically make everything feel like all those set pieces and everything just like when he's just like in the world trying to find Tom Ryder. It's just like, now we're just going to buy that all of this is just going to happen.
And that glowing sequence didn't feel out of place. It's just so
absurd. Sure.
Like there's moments where you're like, what movie is this? And you don't feel like it's not fair to the film. That's hard to do.
Yeah, I do think some of this stuff, for me at least, when we are talking about some of the kind of like more like human or like naturalistic moments, just like trying to figure out like how exactly to get into in and out of those scenes is I think something I've struggled with a movie like this, as well as like Bullet Train, where you are taking big swings and those big swings are generally paying off, but sometimes not, like when you're transitioning from piece to piece.
True.
So that's kind of like my only critique, but generally I really liked a lot of, yeah, just the way this was happening.
I'm gonna go 4.5. I think I don't give a lot of, I gave a 5 to acting, but generally 5s are pretty hard to land. Mm-hmm. Like Fincher's a 5. But Leach is like, this is my favorite of his work, and I think it's shown like his progress and strength as a director, and I think I'm really excited for his next thing because of this. Mm. I think I'm gonna go 4.5. It's pretty high up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I would give the directing a 4.5 on this, because yeah, I think it is tough to do action, and so much action, and so much practical stunts. That I was impressed by it.
Nice.
And I want more directors to look at this and go, oh, we can go back to making things?
Make real car chases.
Yeah.
Use a real helicopter.
We feel it.
That doesn't always go well. But safely use a real helicopter in your movie. It was nice seeing that. Man, that fall.
Feeling it.
That fall at the end out of the helicopter. Like, I could tell. I was like, oh, that looks so good.
Yeah.
So real.
Oh, yeah,
and they gave you a moment just to watch how long the dude fell.
And
I'm
it's
glad
fun to
they
remember
showed
how
that
it
the
feels.
Credits.
And we forget how it feels because we've been inundated with so much volume, so much CGI.
I know.
Even when you see it again, you're like, oh, right, movies.
Early on, that roll on the beach you were talking
the
about.
The first
like,
fall.
As they're doing that roll on the beach, I was like, man, this looks so good.
Yeah.
See, like actual cars are racing, like on a beach, and doing a practical barrel roll.
The scene on the streets of Sydney with the rotating truck bed.
Oh yeah,
when they're fighting
great.
In it, and you can tell they're fighting in a rotating thing on the streets.
Yeah, that one, because they had to do so much kind of cleanup CG.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, are they? What? They're clearly in a thing that's turning.
Right.
I was like, oh, but maybe that's sitting on a set and they're spinning that. And then seeing they were sitting, going down the street, and it was turning, and it was Ryan Gosling in there. I was like, dang, that they really did it on that.
Yeah. They watched
I'm
Fast Five, and they were like,
sequence
you hold my beer.
Was going on in the credits just to be like, hey, just so you know, like so much of this real. And when we did those flips in that car, there was a dude in there. And like they did, I don't think they nailed that enough.
Mm.
You kind of had to read between the lines. Cause in the movie they're like, this is gonna set a record. And then when they showed the behind the scenes, you hear someone shout like, that's a record. And like they should have
been like
we
Guinness.
Actually set a record for doing the most barrel rolls in a car.
They hosted a stunt screening. The screening I went to a while back, it was the day after South By. So they flew in from South By Southwest to the screening in LA, like directly, and the Guinness team had the plaque for the stunt
adorable.
Guy. So I got to see the guy receive the moment, and I was like, I would have put that in the credits by the time the movie came out. Like,
which is also crazy.
It was a month and a half ago. I'm like, give this guy his love.
Yeah. It's also crazy to think. Yeah, stunts are very planned out, and we're very careful when we're doing this.
But it still did more.
You might actually go one more than anything. And if you do, it's a record. And he's like, well, I'll really give it a little extra gas when I
Yeah, I'm like, this is a controlled set. A little extra.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though, that how much that car falls apart. Or,
yeah.
Like, and
nuts.
There's a dude in it.
I know.
Yeah. And he was standing at the screen.
By, and they're like, actually, we didn't get it. Can you do it again? And I'm like, man, that really rattled my brain.
Yeah, like, like when he crashes the camera in the movie, you're like, ah, oh, fuck. Well, at least I got four more, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll be watching a documentary about this before most films.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be watching.
I would love to see like how they made it.
And that's a testament to everything we've said so far.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Universal Home Entertainment, if you're listening, send us the Blu-ray with the behind the scenes.
Please.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, I'm going to say 4. Chat is saying 3.5.
Whoa, chat, what happened?
They betrayed me. They were going
too
high.
The chat.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know, I was like scrolling for, I'm like, I don't know if I can see it, but
that's
there
bad.
We go.
All right. Listen, go back and watch The Dark Knight. Nolan couldn't handle that chase sequence under the bridge. It's a mess. It's hard to shoot action,
guys. He's a
great
example of a
director
that's
gotten a lot better.
He's gotten
a lot better.
But that's a great movie.
But that sequence is confusing under the bridge.
And the first movie when they're grabbing off rooftops, the 180 rule is not even a thing.
No, he's like, I think I got it. I don't know.
We got a cop in the car yelling. That's enough.
Come back to the cop in the car yelling.
All right, before we get to the rest of it, we want to thank some of our sponsors today, like Marvel Move, which is a fitness app with immersive audio that makes you feel like you're running, walking, or jogging through your very own MCU film. Marvel Move is a fully featured fitness app with GPS run mapping, step tracking, and stats, but the really unique factor is the motivation you'll get from progressing through thrilling original Marvel stories. Brandon, you've been
Evan, you're supposed to be using the app. Have you not been using it? Have you not been running?
I've been running.
Listen, I've been using the Marvel Move app. I hate running. If you know me, I hate reading. And I hate running even more than I hate reading. And I hate reading a lot. I usually get bored when I'm running. I like to run outdoors. And this app is like a lot of fun because you can listen to your normal playlist and it'll jump in with little challenges for you to do. I'm doing like a 5K trainer right now, which is designed to go like couch to 5K. It starts you off like walk for 10 minutes, then run for 30 seconds, then walk for a minute, and it'll tell you, gives you times. Cool. You can do other modes where like, yeah, you're doing a story with the X-Men and you're getting chased by a Sentinel. You gotta run faster right now, or it's gonna catch you. And grind your bones.
Is it
your
working?
Little mutant bones.
How, like, do you feel motivated?
It does motivate me. I will say it makes the time go by a little faster, which is nice. There's some good voice actors in it, some funny jokes. It's clever. They send you cute little emails progress the story. If you really want to get into the stories, you can. If you just like to have it in the background so that every now and then they can yell at you and go, "Hey, there's a Sentinel coming, run for your life!" You can do it, and people on the street are like, "What's up with this freak running around like a maniac?" But it's fun, and I really enjoy it. It gives you another motivation, another way to tap into your runner's side.
I love that it's given an entire generation of people who are like, "I only run if I'm being chased." An app.
Yeah.
Like, it's the definition of like.
Well, now I'm
like
worried cardio. If I sign up for a 5K, I'm gonna need a Sentinel to chase me.
I don't want to. I'll dress up. I'll chase you.
Sentinel Prime.
You'll be you, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get the makeup.
Just
and
the zombie like.
Yeah, yeah.
Omega mutant detected.
Yelling through a blowhorn.
There you go.
If you're entirely new to running and need a little structure and guidance, your Marvel Move subscription includes Thor and Loki's 5K training, an 8-week-long program that will train you to run your first 5 kilometers with 12 hours of audio drama. Plus, you'll get new workouts weekly with stories from A-list writers like Teenie Howard and Jerry Duggan. Plus, more series and new characters arriving in summer 2024. Download the ZRX app on iPhone and Android to try Marvel Move for 1 week for free. When you're ready to dive in, head to zrx.app/newrockstars and use coupon code newrockstars at checkout for 50% off your first month. Legitimately, I did not know about the Couch to 5K program, and I do think I have to try it.
Yeah, if you that Loki training program, Thor and Loki is the one I was doing. It's it starts very easy.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. This sounds great. Like, of all the sponsors so far, I'm like, all right, I see you, Marvel Run. Also, Jerry Duggan's one of my favorite comic writers, so they've got some street cred.
Yeah, I'm curious like what else they'll be adding to the app. Yeah. All right, and also you can check out nerdriot.shop. We've got a ton of X-Men inspired designs right now, like the Gambit Remember It shirt. Tons of people. Tons of people were complimenting Zach. They said they couldn't focus on the episode yesterday because they were just looking at Zach. Sure. And we've got the Deadpool and Wolverine shirts. We got some Break Room merch live on the site now. You may remember how I found it, but you'll have to look on the YouTube channel.
I was like, we don't have to watch it again.
No, we don't have to watch it again. It's too long.
It's great. I love it.
We got to move on. Grabbing some merch is the best way to support the channel. There's tons of great designs on there. Check out nerdriot.shop.
It's also May the 4th at the time of this recording and this. Tons of Star Wars stuff on there right now.
Right.
Some fun giveaways, too. So check out nerdriot.shop.
Giveaways?
Oh.
I gotta go.
Also, it's not a plug, but it's free comic book day. If you're seeing this on Saturday, May 4th, and I just want to give some love to comics, check out your local comic book shop. They're giving away upwards of 50 comics from major publishers, as well as deals at most local comic shops. That is a plug for comics in general.
Yeah. Also, check out your local library. They probably have comic trade paperbacks that you can check out. That's what I do.
If you think you can't afford comics and there's no gateway in, a library is a legal way to support comics, because every time you rent a book, it actually gets back to the publisher and shows what things are moving. So check out
your
library.
A lot of library programs have digital comic readers too, with
like Hoopla
comics that you can read.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, grading the visuals, shot by Jonathan Sella, Deadpool 2. I mean, it's hard not. I'm glad that we moved the categories around, because it's hard to like separate this from the stunts that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a visually kind of impressive movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just in how they did the stunts, what they show you of the stunts.
Yeah.
I loved that drop in the beginning. It did look a little CG'd, but I could tell it was real.
It's just the speed.
Yeah,
I think it's just our eyes can't track
that. That was,
can you imagine if that was the CG moment? Like, we're going to open this stunt film with a fake
huge
stunt.
This is, I'm going to rag on Evan's favorite franchise, the Now You See Me franchise, which is such
bullshit. When they use CGI to do magic in a
There's
magic
no
movie?
There's no real practical
That's
magic.
That's insane. How do
now,
you do that?
Now, if you want practical magic, you should go watch Practical Magic. But it's insane that the Now You See Me movies don't involve. And this is like, this would be my gripes with Fast and the Furious when there's CG car sequences.
We started with the second one.
Yeah, and it's like, guys, you're a car movie. Put some cars in there. Some real cars. Now I realize.
And Jurassic Park, like,
trying to put a car in space. I get it. You're gonna have to CG that. That's fine. Yeah, Jurassic Park.
What are you doing, Jurassic Park? If you can't clone the dinosaurs, yeah, remember,
we've got the
why
technology.
Make the movie?
Let's
we
do it.
We can see in the lab. You can make it. Why haven't you made one practically yet? We've been waiting.
But I did love that opening sequence. The shot. I guess we're going back to directing. The shot where he gets on the elevator and they're talking to the elevator.
Oh, so good.
I mean, it is.
Jody, head to two.
That's so cute. So good.
So you were saying you didn't think there was enough of them. I thought there was enough through that one sequence that I was like, oh, it's an action movie. Get to the action. I already feel that love.
Yeah. I watched a whole movie of Ryan and Emily just being in a car together.
I've watched so much press for this that I never watch because the chemistry between them is so good. I'm just watching them be
cute. Do you think Krasinski and Eva were on set when they kissed? That was a good kiss they had.
That was a good kiss.
Real
good
kiss.
Good kiss. It's a good kiss.
It'd be so hard to have both sets of parties in the industry. Like, it'd be so hard because you know Ava knows and you know John knows.
I think Ava and John show up. They're like, Ava, John, they shake hands.
Yeah.
They take their keys out of the little thing. They each insert it at the same time.
All right,
and
let's watch how this goes. And that's a one.
And then they unlock the keys. They put them back.
Krasinski showing up like in that picture of the Oppenheimer cast. I was was he just keeping an eye on that Downey chemistry?
I mean, that
Killian chemistry.
Watch out for it. I really enjoyed a lot of the visuals in the film. Like I said, the fake movie looks good enough.
Yeah.
I think visually, the way they shot the stunts was like really cool.
Yeah.
That big jump at the end looked great. The helicopter, like in the canyon, like real helicopter, like so good. The driving stuff.
Yeah. Like, do you think the apartment that Aaron Taylor Johnson's character is in, do you think it's a real apartment?
It feels like the Parasite question, right? Where you're like, was this a real house?
Yeah.
Or like a house they built on a set because they're filming from so many angles?
Yeah.
I mean,
it feels like there was maybe a real thing up there, but that's not that same apartment.
Right.
But that apartment looks
freaking
cool.
They made the coolest thing. And they're like, we've got the coolest movie star. We have to build the coolest apartment.
Yeah.
This is technically cinematography, right?
The category? Yeah.
For me, the movie doesn't work unless you know how to shoot it. And like the directing obviously is a huge part of that, but the actual DP work, what the director of photography was able to accomplish, what the choreography was able to do within the cinematography, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Because the story doesn't work unless you can actually see the stunts happening. So this is high for me because when you look at a movie that's got really good stunt coordinating and it's not shot well, it just feels like sad because you know those people got so hurt.
Yeah.
And then when you see a movie that's like about how cool stunts are, but it's not shot well, then you're like aware of the camera. And at no point in this film was I thinking like, oh, what's the DP doing right now? Unless it was a shot of the DP in the fake movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it kept the suspension of disbelief and suspension of what it is that I'm watching enough. Plus it really elaborately was able to, like, we'll use the spinning one for example, the timing of the spinning, looping into them inside, looping into the choreography, the stunts,
cutting
and
back
that
and
was, I mean, that's incredible. So this is really high for me.
Yeah, yeah. One little gripe I have, this is such a nitpick.
Unicorns aren't real.
Well, two little gripes I have.
Fair.
I especially after watching Anyone But You, I guess Australia's cloudier than I thought.
No, you thought the weather.
Dramatic weather. One little gripe, weather.
You know, Evan, when it's the summer here, it's the winter there.
I know. Christmas, they go to the beach.
So specifically, though, the scene when Ryan Gosling is getting ready to go into the car to do the role, and he's like, I don't want to do it.
His hand
feels weird. Very fun motion. But it must have been so fucking cloudy that day. It looked terrible.
Really, it did
that
look terrible.
That scene looked really bad. Like,
it did look really
the color looked off. Like, everything looked terrible that scene. I was like, why would you put it out like this? Like, just shoot another day.
Like,
I don't know.
That might have been the only day. Like, that's what's funny is like the what they were describing might have been on the day.
Yeah. Which is wild but then the role looks really good, like all the colors and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're gonna do a thing where like when the movie is going, when they're filming, that's all like more saturated, and when it's not, it's like less saturated. I'm like, no, it was just one bad weather day.
It's just weather in Australia.
Yeah. I really loved. I like the unicorn as like a funny visual cue of like he's still high.
Yeah.
It's like an interesting way of doing that. Because those sequences always bother me in movies where it's like a character takes a drug and they're fucked up, and then it's like, then they go on to do something else for 8 hours.
Fine.
Yeah. And it's like, well, when did they sleep? When did this? But I like this idea. They're like, no, he's still high. This is like still happening. It's not till later that he doesn't see it anymore. Like, that was a fun visual thing.
And if you've ever done hallucinogen, don't do drugs, kids. But if you ever have, it is often where you're like, I'm good. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
I'm still seeing that. That's not a problem. That's not so worrying.
And you second guess everything you've done the last 6 hours. So I love that there was that sense of unreality that he was like, I don't know when I am. And that you felt that in the cinematography.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, and also, wait, this is so interesting. This is a total tangent.
Okay.
In the trailers for the movie, you guys have both seen trailers for the movies, right? Did you think Aaron Taylor Johnson was the body in the bathtub?
Oh.
For some reason, I feel like I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, why would they show that he died?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember the body in the bathtub from the trailer. All I remember from the trailer is there's a shot when I think Ryan Gosling was still in the green outfit where he goes through the window of a bus, and like that did not happen. I kept waiting for it. I was like, I want to see that one. I don't know why I'm not.
I've stopped watching trailers as soon as, like, if I review the trailer, I try to avoid it again because I don't want to watch. Like, Age of Ultron was ruined for me because I was just piecing the movie together. Since, like, I'll leave a theater if I've seen a trailer a few times.
I mean, that was me in Eternals too. I mean, the Eternals trailer is probably by far the trailer that I. Like, I never want to see that trailer again. I've seen it so too many times. It was in front of everything.
I keep sitting, getting there early and seeing all the trailers, but one of these days, apes will learn. I will learn. I've heard that line so many times in theaters.
I wait for Nicole now. Because there's enough. There's the AMC ad, and then there's like
22 minutes.
There's
every
a new
time.
Set of AMC ad where it's like Nicole Kidman comes after this group of people like living through movies, and I'm like, if that, I wait for that one, and then I go in.
Yeah, there's the group of people who are like drinking Coke and living through movies.
It's like a throwback to the early 2000s one where it was like you go through the screen, but it's just so long. But I wait for that one.
Bring back the little Pepsi girl.
I want the guy that like was watching and he tosses his popcorn, but then they cut the toss.
They cut the toss.
And I was so upset for him. That was really good acting.
I do wonder if it was like, did the audience mail AMC? Was he like, hey, this is hurting my reputation. You gotta cut this.
He's like on another commercial. Yeah. Like, oh, the popcorn! No,
I think it was Maria Menounos who was like, I need 5 more minutes.
Oh, yeah.
My movie ads. We gotta cut popcorn. Day.
Maria's guy. She gotta promote her podcast.
I'm gonna go 4.5 cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, I would give this movie like a 5 just for shooting the stunts so well.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as cinematography. Because I think that is tough to do. The fights look great. I'm not confused. I know who's who. I know what's going on. Yeah. I know where people are.
Yeah.
I love the little setup of like Gosling before they attack the apartment, just moves that ottoman. And it's like he knows like, oh, I'm going to set up a fall later. And it's like very clever. Like,
oh, I missed that.
He's just randomly getting ready for the fight and you see him move it and you have no idea why. And then later when they fall off that balcony, he hits the pillow and the dude hits the ground.
He's that good of a fall guy.
And it was like he knew like, oh, set up these like stunts.
You know, the maybe title, I will watch it again tomorrow.
And the title is so cheeky because he's like falling in love. Yeah. He falls for the plot. He's the a fall guy. Like, I gotta give that some love too. It's not one of these categories, but cheeky titles for a cheeky
he's
movie.
He's hurt through a fall.
Yeah.
You know,
it opens with a fall
guy.
It's
all adorable.
Yeah.
It's all adorable.
Chat gives it a 5 for visuals.
Whoa!
I give it a 4.5. Moving on to our most important category that never has enough time.
Ooh,
rating the sound and score. Great needle drops. Great. That's a good soundtrack.
I mean, All Too Well is a great needle drop.
Incredible. 10 out of 10.
Him
crying.
Oh. It's fun. I appreciate this movie for at least acknowledging that when you're in your car and you're listening to something
that's
or you're talking
time.
On your speakerphone,
yeah.
people can hear everything that's going on. Your car is not insulated. Especially if your speakerphone, your Bluetooth is wired through your car system.
It's even worse.
Folks, your speakers are inside your door. There's not insulation. It's just... It is a tin can broadcasting whatever you're saying. So I appreciate they acknowledge the reality that they would all be able to hear him.
Yeah.
In that moment. There was I forget what the main rock song that would play.
Was it I was made for loving you.
Oh yes,
baby.
Yes, that was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. There was just some fun.
Yeah, they did like
rock,
a few iterations off of that too.
Yeah,
right?
It was like almost like it was the score where they'd like play with different notes. Mm-hmm. I thought the needle drops were great. I also think, I mean, we're talking sound.
Yeah.
A movie, and if you'll see this in indie films, a movie is lost by its editing
sound.
Right.
And I think that they nailed all the gaffin work. Like they literally like all the stunt sound effects.
Yeah.
Like I felt explosions. The punches. I felt the explosions. I felt the car.
Yeah.
So sound design I thought was excellent. Needle drop. So I know we got to hurry. So I'm gonna go 5 for the impact of both the audio and the physical audio.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 as well because I think everything you guys said, and I really had a great time with it.
Well, let's give it a 5, folks. Come on, it sounded great.
They're all voting now. We're seeing a five.
Beautiful.
Great. Done deal. Put it in. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
I love to hear how happy people are with this, because my second favorite movie of the year, and I was afraid I was too in the stunt community to be fair of with it. I felt like, you know those movies that are so personal, you're like, does this suck to everyone else?
Yes.
I feel like we're in the last days of Jason Momoa, and this felt like a good little fun cameo.
What's gonna happen? We didn't even talk about him. That's the biggest spoiler.
Nothing's gonna happen to him. Emotionally, it's that like I don't know what they're gonna do with Jason Momoa.
Got it.
Like
he showed up at the mirror and left, which is funny.
Yeah, he was fine as Aquaman, fine, but like it didn't work for me. The like goofy Aquaman, they were playing Aquaman like Thor, and I didn't like it. You know, he's fine in like the Fast franchise, I guess. It's a little weird. It's like too big. He's gonna
be a great Lobo if he gets it. Like if Lobo works out, then he'll be.
But it's also
10
like
years.
I don't ever see him in a movie where he's like, "Well, I'm gonna wear my rings and I'm gonna have sunglasses at some point, and I better be able to wear the T-shirt I wore to set." And it's like, Jesus Christ, Jason Momoa! Like, can you ever see Jason Momoa like being in a period piece?
right. The way
where he is not a wild man from the woods or something. Right, you know what I mean? Like he's got to be a doctor or something and have like a curly little mustache and tight cropped hair.
No, he's got that thing where he is so himself.
Yes.
That it's hard to see.
And that's fine, but I don't know what they're gonna do with him.
Luckily, that is also Lobo. But that's the last thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess let him be Lobo. But like, I feel like Hollywood was like, well, he'll be Aquaman for 20 years. It'll be fine.
And that
was like, no, that's not gonna work. Sorry. And it's like, what are we gonna do?
And
with
all the Fast X drama, apparently with Vin. And him, like, you know, I thought the performance was great. What's gonna mean for Fast X 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. And I think, listen, Momoa, if you're listening, you can take The Rock's roles, okay? He's on the ropes right now. He's coming back to wrestling, and that's fine, but like, you, Momoa, you will take a joke and you can make fun of yourself. The Rock cannot do that. And this is your moment.
You're willing to lose
fights. Yes, you're
willing
to lose
fights. Keep your lost water bottles at home.
Like, that's why Cena does a better job in the movies than The Rock. Because Cena will make fun of himself.
And Batista
will make
fun of himself. Such a good actor.
Yeah.
Like Batista, like in Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Batista's really good. He's really good.
Do we have a final score, guys?
Yeah, I sent it.
Oh, you sent it to me?
It's been sent.
It's been sent. Okay. Here we go.
It's been sent.
I'll take it to this camera. All right, here we go. The final score. Drum roll. 89.
Whoa.
89. That's good.
Yeah. That's is that better than Monkey Man? I think we did better than Monkey Man.
Shoot. I think you're right.
We were a little harder on Monkey Man.
Yeah.
I was hard on Monkey Man.
I mean, 90% is an A- in the American school system. So 89 is like a B+. That's pretty solid.
Hey, that's great. And I think that is very fitting for this movie.
It solidly sits
in that B to like A- realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like truly, you could go either way. I feel like like you said, if there are people who just like, it's like, this is not my thing. I'm like, yeah, I guess it.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be. Like, if you don't like this by that level, to that scale, like, you're not going to, it's not for you. We're not going to convince you.
Yeah. This is doing, like, action rom-com in, like, a fun way. Mm-hmm. I not original IP, but no one has watched The Fall. And I don't think it's sticking to the rules of the Fall Guy universe.
Dude,
the post-credit scene, I could feel in my theater, like, what is this?
What's happening?
And I lean over to my wife and I go, that's Lee Majors. And she goes, okay. I was like, he's in the show, the TV show. I'm sorry, apologies to that woman. I had no idea who I assume she was in the show, too.
The stunt screening I was at, I was sitting next to the stunt coordinator from the original show, who also did Starship Troopers and a bunch of other stuff. And it was the best time talking about, like, classic 70s. And the only
Troopers.
Pop I saw, and that was this guy. And I was like, like I was so happy for him.
The crowd was like, what are we doing here?
But I don't even know if the premiere would have had a pop. Like,
no,
it was this guy and his family.
I was
so
frankly
happy.
Shocked that Lee Majors was alive.
Learned
I thought,
a lot.
I swear to God, he was dead.
You can't kill the Fall Guy.
I guess not.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
He'll live forever. They tried to kill him.
They tried. You can't take out the Fall Guy.
They tried. All right, that's it for us today. You can make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel here on YouTube and give us a follow on Twitch where we do videos like these live. Koi, where can the people find you?
Can help me down on YouTube. I'm trying to grow it out. I'm almost at 24K, trying to get 25K by May.
Let's get to 25K by May.
I put up my Fall Guy review today if you want to see my thoughts longer form. And also every single week, I'm reviewing all of my favorite comics. I read 40 to 50 comics a week, so you don't have to. And I give you my top 9 so you can find stuff you might like and preview that week's 50 to 60 comics that I'm going to be checking out. So every week doing a comic breakdown and a big movie review and other stuff on that page. So type in Koi Genre on YouTube because I want to see you there and here. And thank you to this audience for, like, I hadn't been here in a month or so and you guys were so kind about my return. Like, I read all those comments and I felt a rare warmth on the internet. Usually the internet is terrifying. So you guys gave me hope.
My internet?
Your internet. Just like Twitter. A lovely place.
Lovely place.
Speaking of, you can follow us on Twitter.
A lovely place.
A lovely place. Nothing bad ever happens. On Threads, it's basically just me and Tom Michelson. There's no one else.
I really am gonna start my Threads.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't yet either.
I also haven't posted on the Break Room Threads in like a month, so it'll happen today. And on Instagram, hey, give the Little Apes post a like. We'll catch y'all later.
Later, guys.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.